Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for sending your angel to deliver your message. And we thank you that you choose the lowliest of people to communicate your greatest and highest truth to. Lord, I pray that each boy and each girl, each man and each woman would come to recognize that you are a God who wants to speak to them. That they'd be opening themselves up to divine encounters and divine messages. That this story of Christmas and story of the angels receiving divine intervention, Lord, would cause us to expect it to happen in our lives. I pray these boys and girls would hear from you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what you get. Each of you gets a sheep dropping to take with you on your way back to your seat. Okay, go ahead and grab one or two and take them with you. Thanks so much, and thank you, angel. Well, I invite you to take your scriptures out and let's look at that account where the angels appeared and spoke to the shepherds. It's in the book of Luke. And as we see this, we'll recognize that this occurs at the end of what historians have called 400 years of silence. It's a bit of a wrong name, of course. It really wasn't complete silence, but there's 400 years of time in between when the Old Testament was finished and when the first parts of the New Testament were occurred, the events occurred. So we have this 400 years of silence. We have no scriptures being written. We have no recorded instances of God speaking. But I believe God was still speaking during that time. But after these 400 years of so-called silence, all of a sudden there's this eruption of God speaking in numerous ways. We have these angelic visitations. What are angels? They're supernatural beings created by God to be messengers. The word angels actually means messengers. So angels are messengers of God, delivering God's message to his people. Now, if you've gone through a period of silence, for them almost supposedly called 400 years of silence, you'd be anxious and eager to hear from God. And when God speaks, the people are ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to respond. And my prayer is that today you and I would be able to open the door of our hearts to God's message, to God's divine encounters, that we'd be able to recognize that God wants to speak to us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we thank you for all the communication that came from heaven during this wonderful season of Advent and Christmas. We thank you for sending angels to proclaim your truth. And we thank you that you chose to speak to the lowly shepherds, even smelly shepherds. We pray that today, as we look at your word, that you would enable our hearts to be open to your message, to receive it, to respond to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2 of Luke. Starting at verse 8 reads, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men, on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. God is a speaking God. Our God is a communicating God. Our God is a God who wants to enter into his humanity and communicate his love to them and talk about his truth to them so that people will come into a relationship with them. So I'm inviting us to think about the shepherds. And maybe we have some things in common with the shepherds. Shepherds, they're hardworking people, people of the earth. They were actually looked down upon by a lot of the society. They did sleep on the ground. They slept on that dropping covered ground. Because of that, they were smelly. They were considered unclean. They were excluded from some of the acts of worship that were part of that time frame. They were shunned by many. Maybe you can relate to people like that. Maybe there's ways in which you are kind of like a shepherd. Maybe there's aspects of your life that you think are kind of smelly. But I want you to know that God speaks to smelly people. But these shepherds also had some positive traits. They were available. They listened. When they heard the message of the angels after the initial shock and fear, they responded. They actually talked to each other, encouraging faith in each other. And then they obeyed, and they went to see if indeed this message was true. They traveled to Bethlehem. They found the baby Jesus. Then they told others. After they had seen Jesus, they left telling everyone they met that angels had showed up to them, a message had been given to them, and they saw the baby who was the Messiah, the Savior. And they finally went all the way back to work praising God, glorifying God, believing that God had entered into their life. God had communicated a message to them. God had chosen them. Of all the people that night who received divine intervention, divine communication about the Lord Jesus Christ being born, the only ones were the shepherds. The kings of that era didn't. The high and noble people didn't. The business people didn't. It was just the shepherds. They were singled out to receive God's message. See, I believe that God wants to speak to you. And I believe that some of you really struggle with that idea. You say, who me? Would God possibly want to speak to me? No way. I'm a nobody. Well, see, that's exactly what it takes. The humbleness of recognizing, yeah, you're a nobody, but in God's eyes, you are the one he wants to communicate his truth to, his love to. You're the one he picked out. And he's not waiting for you to clean yourself up and take a bath and remove all the stuff on the outside. God's picking you in your smelly state to talk to you. See, Christmas is all about God breaking into humanity. Jesus coming and living amongst us. God with us. And as part of that, there's all this communication from God. And I believe that as we move forward through the Advent season and into Christmas now in just a few days, that God wants us to, this Christmas, believe again that God wants to speak into our ears and tell us his wonderful truths. God wants to speak to you about who he is. So let's put ourselves in a position to hear. Let's put ourselves in an attitude of heart so they're ready to receive. Let's be like those shepherds, receptive. Now what did that angel say? He says, do not be afraid. The pictures of angels that look like chubby little babies with wings are a little off. They probably look more like that scary one we saw this morning. Terrifying, large, impressive. Every encounter with an angel is some kind of being startled or being terrified. Mary is the calmest of them all. The rest of them are shaking in fear. Because angels are supernatural beings, messengers of God. So they have to say, hey, do not be afraid. He says, I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy. Good news causing great joy. I believe that God has good news for you. News that will bring you joy. If you're a little joy depleted right now, then I invite you to listen. Listen for what God wants to say to you, because he wants to restore your joy. Not happiness in human situation, not happiness in the world's things going on, but he wants to bring you joy. Joy from heaven. This great joy, this great news is for all people. It's for everyone in the world. It's for all of humanity that God is entering in and creating a path for people to be restored into a relationship. It's a message that's for today. Today is the appointed time, the angels say. Today is the day that the Messiah has been born. It happened in the town of David in fulfillment of prophecy. And who is it that's born? They say it's a Savior, a rescuer, one who can take people out of a dangerous predicament and bring them into a position of safety. One who can take people who are on the path, the slippery slope, going right into hell and pull them out and put them on a solid rock where they're in a relationship with God. He's their Savior who's been born. Now, the people didn't expect that. They expected a mighty king when the Messiah made his first appearance. They didn't expect an infant. They didn't expect a baby to be born. They expected what we're looking forward to in terms of the second coming. They were thinking someone triumphant. But the mystery of God is he chose to take on humanity and be born as a baby. This message the angels say is to you. He's been born to you. He wasn't born to the creation. He wasn't born just for God's pleasure. He was born as a Savior to you. When you see that word to you or other forms of you in Scripture, it's an invitation for you to join in God's message. It's not just for them. It's not just for those. It's for you. The gospel message, the good news, the great joy, the Savior being born is for you. In fact, maybe that's something you struggle with. Could you go ahead and cooperate with that piece of Scripture right now and say, it's for me. The Savior was born for me. In fact, I invite you to say that with me out loud. For me. For me. The Savior was born for me. And maybe there's people in your life that have a hard time believing that, and so you can turn to that passage and turn to them and say, he was born for you. It's a personal ministry. It's God entering into your life. He's been born for you. Who is he? He's the Messiah, the awaited one, the promised one, the one who comes in fulfillment of all of God's plan of redemption. He is the Lord, the one in charge, the master, the sovereign, ruler of all. And the sign will be that you'll find a baby in cloths lying in a manger. So unexpected. God breaking in an unexpected way. And that's what God wants to do with you. After that part of the angelic message is delivered, that angel is joined by a whole company of heavenly hosts. We have a hard time even understanding what kind of huge number of angels that might have been. But they appeared praising God. It's as if they couldn't stand it any longer. They'd been waiting in anticipation. They'd been crowding around the portal between heaven and earth probably, just waiting to celebrate that the Messiah was born and the plan of God was unfurling. And they burst out into creation to declare the praises of God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace. When God enters, peace comes. When Jesus brings or is brought into the environment, peace ensues. So God was speaking. Then, and the same God is speaking to us now. I believe this Christmas is a time of being able to listen to him. But do you believe that God speaks? I'd like to run through a few evidences that God is a speaking God. I don't think there's any spot for notes on your handout, but if you can scratch some of these on a different piece of paper or in the margin somewhere, I invite you to look at these evidences that God is speaking. And my goal is that after we're all done, you'll have a sense of anticipation that God wants to speak to you during this Christmas season. So, our first point is that God wants to speak to you. Hear these words from John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Our God speaks. He's the good shepherd who speaks to his sheep. Secondly, our God has always been speaking to his people. As you read through the Bible narrative, you see over and over again times when God shows up, times when God breaks forth. He speaks to Abraham. He speaks to Moses. He speaks to Joshua. Throughout history, he speaks over and over again. He's a God who has spoken in the past. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, heard the Father speak. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the model for how we're to live in a relationship with God. And Jesus was constantly hearing the voice of the Father. At his baptism, he heard a voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased." At his transfiguration, the booming voice of God was heard. As he went about his ministry, he said things like this, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." That's John chapter 5. Or consider this from John 5:30. "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Or John 7, "My teaching is not my own, it comes from him who sent me." Or John 8, "I do nothing out of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Or John 12, "I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say." Or John 14, "The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." Or John 14, 24, "These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me." You see the repetition? Verse after verse after verse, Jesus is saying, "I hear from the Father, and I speak what I hear. My words are not my own." Jesus heard from the Father. And so can you. At the end of his ministry, Jesus promised that he would send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Indwell, guide, teach, lead, remind. In other words, speak. The role of the Holy Spirit is to speak. He's called in John 14 the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, who teaches us all things, who reminds us of everything that Jesus has said, who testifies about Jesus in John 16, who guides into all truth and tells us what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit is speaking. As you look at the newly birthed church, you see that they heard the voice of God. In Acts chapter 2, "In those last days I will pour out my Spirit, and my sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." They will receive communication from God. So in the Old Testament, we had these rare occurrences of people hearing from God. But now as we turn to the New Testament, we see a speaking God all over the place. We see the whole church hearing from God and then being able to declare that message to others. I want to pause right here to recognize that there's concern when we talk about a God who speaks. There's concern that some people might think they're hearing from God, but they're actually not hearing from God. And we need to recognize and just affirm that that happens. There are people who claim they've heard from God who have not heard from God. But a counterfeit does not negate the real. In fact, if there's a counterfeit of something, it means there must be a real of that something. If someone makes a counterfeit $20 bill, it's because there are real $20 bills. And if someone claims they heard from God and they didn't, it's because God is sometimes speaking. And they're trying to counterfeit or lead people astray, but it doesn't mean that God never speaks. It means that they're trying to lead people astray, and we need to be seeking all the more diligently to hear well and to hear rightly. In the letter that John wrote, his first epistle, in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." What's the message there? There are counterfeit, but there are real. There are false spirits, and there are real spirits. There are false prophets, there are real prophets. There are people who receive insight from God. God is a speaking God. So I want to give you a little bit of a test. I'm wondering if you have heard from God in these ways. It's a survey, a hearing God survey. I pulled this out of Brad Jersak's book entitled "Can You Hear Me? Tuning In to the God Who Speaks." It's a list of experiences, and I'm wondering how many of these experiences you've had. Have you heard from God? Number one, have you heard an invitation? Has God invited you into his family? Has God called you to respond to him in faith? If you've become a Christian, then you have heard from God. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." In other words, if you've responded in faith, you've heard from God. Have you responded to God in an invitation? Or secondly, have you heard God in the Scripture? Have you ever been reading it or listening to it, and it's as if those words from the Scriptures just become emblazoned? Maybe they're flashing neon. It's as if suddenly those words are coming to life inside your heart. Something goes on inside of you, and it's no longer just black and white on a page. It's God's voice inside of the deep parts of your being. If you've heard God in Scripture, then you've heard from God. Or number three, have you been listening to a teacher or a preacher, and suddenly those words hit you just in a profound way? Suddenly there's insight. Suddenly there's understanding that comes. Suddenly there's a need to respond to God. If that's happened inside of your heart as you've been listening to a preacher or a teacher, then you've heard from God. Or number four, have you been worshiping? And as you're singing the songs and listening to the songs and participating in the worship, has your heart been warmed? Have you sensed that God is in that moment? And those words are a call from God for you to respond to him in faith. Have you heard from God in worship? Then you've heard from God. Or number five, have you sensed conviction? Has there been a convicting of your soul deep down inside? Has there been a conviction of right or of wrong? Has God ever addressed an issue inside of you that you need to make right with him or with others? Does he ever affirm areas inside of you that truly please him? Have you been convicted? If you've been convicted, then you've heard from God. Or how about this one, number six? Have you ever had a burden placed upon your heart for another person? Have you ever felt a really strong urge to pray for somebody? All of a sudden in the middle of your day or as you're laying in bed trying to fall asleep, suddenly someone's face comes to mind, someone's name comes to mind, and you just cannot stop yourself from praying. You just are pushed to pray for that person. Maybe it's a missionary, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a son or a daughter, but suddenly you just cannot help but go to prayer and intercede for that person. If you've sensed a prompting like that or a burden like that, you've heard from God. See, our God has been speaking. And you have heard from him. in little ways, in small ways. And here's what I want you to think about. The God who is speaking wants to speak to you more and more. He wants to pull you into a tighter and tighter relationship so your ears are attuned to him. You can hear his still, small voice. Yeah, I think it's human nature that we would really love to have an angelic visitation. We'd love it if suddenly the sky was full of the host of a company of the heavenly host. But that's pretty rare. In fact, I'd encourage you to be pretty cautious about those who talk about angelic visitation, because there's lots of false witnesses about angels. But God, in his still small voice, through the power of his Spirit, is wanting to speak to you and me. And as we think about Christmas and all the times when God broke in to speak to the people, may it serve as a reminder to you and to me to attune our ears to hear again what God is saying. Because God is breaking in to deliver his good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful that you are not just locked up in heaven, but that you chose to enter into our humanity. Thank you for taking on flesh and living amongst us. And thank you that during this time of your arrival, there was all sorts of communication. Do it again. Do it some more. Continue to speak to us. Continue to guide us. In big ways, yes, but help us to see all the small ways too. Help us be ready to sense the promptings of your Spirit. Help us to immerse ourselves in your Word so that your Scriptures come alive inside of our hearts. And Lord, help us to receive those words from you and then share them with one another. May we be more and more like those shepherds who are startled into a response, who react in faith, who get up, who go, who check it out, and then go and tell others what they saw and heard. Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Speak to us this Christmas season about your arrival, about your salvation plan, about your good news. And may that message flow through us to the people around us for your glory and for your praise. We pray in Jesus' name.